3 through kindergarten, you can go downstairs to children's church. Boy, today is one of those days, and I mean most Sundays are this way, but today especially one of those days when worshiping together with you is just so powerful. It nourishes my soul. And so if people, and welcome to you, welcome to those joining us online. For those of you that are joining us online, I want you to know that listening to the sermon, 30 minutes, unless I go long, 35 minutes a week, is not enough. You're missing out. Is this not just joyful to be here together? All right. Michael, thank you. Yeah. So, you know, again, I'm thankful that we have technology and we can do this, at least to some degree, today, live or in the future. But boy, for those of you that, you know, think going, staying home or whatever is okay, you're missing out on just relationship, and just this place is resonating with joy and worship today. So anyway, thank you guys. The Lark-like Larsons leading us today. I love listening to the Lark-like Larsons. Teresa's just sighing up here. She gets to live with me all the time. Any which way, again, good morning. Glad that you are here today. Again, those of you that have been around for a while know that I love the outdoors. I love the outdoors, always have, and I hope to always will love the outdoors. One of the things that we like to do besides paddling and fishing is hiking. We like to hike and backpack. Well, part of the time you can't always be outside, and so some of the time that we're inside we spend on social media. Most of us do. It's part of our life today. Part of social media, then, are these forums, these Facebook groups. Well, there are lots of Facebook groups out there, obviously. Lots of them pertain to the outdoors, and some specifically about hiking. Well, Teresa, my amazing bride, really loves to read these things and post and ask questions and lead, whatever. Just she likes to do that stuff. And then she tells me what is being said on some of those. Well, in particular, with hiking groups, there don't dare ask a question because there are lots and lots of opinions out there. You ask your question and you will get hundreds of answers, some very strong opinions about what you ought to do, which cook stove is the best, and should you even have a cook stove, and what about the fuel, and what type of food. Just be careful what you ask because you're going to get a variety of answers. Lots of opinions out there. Some people talk a lot about, in this case, backpacking, hiking. Talk a lot, lots of opinions, and then maybe later you can find out they talk a lot but really don't have a lot of experience. They say some things and maybe they even sound good, but they can't really back it up with real world experience. Lots of opinions, maybe not that much experience out there. Be careful what you ask. How do you know? How do you know if this voice that you're listening to, this person that's speaking about something that they claim to know about, how do you know if they're real, if they're genuine, if they can back it up with real life experience? Well, that's a good question. That's a great question. Over the last few weeks, we've been doing a series called Reenactment, and we've done several different parts of that. I'll explain more in a moment. But I've shared with you over the last weeks about my joy of getting to go to reenactments, living history. For those of you that are just joining us today for the first time, I grew up near Peoria, Illinois, and south of Peoria is a place called Fort Crèvecoeur. And at Fort Crèvecoeur, once a year, there was a great big reenactment, living history. People from all over the country would gather, and they would dress in period clothing. In this case, it was the French and Indian War into the fur trading era. And so I remember as a kid, just a little one, going into the fort and smelling the fire and the food cooking and seeing all these people, men, women, and children dressed up. I mean, they had all the gear and the garb and the tents and carrying around guns and tomahawks and big knives, and my eyes were, I'm like, I want to do that. I want to carry around guns, like, I just want to do that all the time. I can still remember the sights and the sounds and the smells of the reenactment, that living history. It's interesting. It's neat, fun. It's an adventure to get to go and be a part of living history. So now, join me in just using your mind for a minute. Let's pretend that I've sold you on reenactments. You also agree reenactments are good, fun, adventurous, like worthwhile, being a part of living history. You believe in reenactments. You think what I've said is true and good. Let's pretend that you've also got all the stuff. You've got the buckskin leggings, or you've got the pretty doeskin dress. You've got the cotton linen shirt. You've got the wall tent. You've got the muzzle loader. You've even got an awesome birch bark canoe. Don't forget to take me paddling in your birch bark canoe. I really want to do that. You've got all the stuff. You've got the cast iron cooking stuff, and you've got stew there just gurgling over the fire. You've got all the things. You believe in it. You like the idea of it. In fact, you've even attended some reenactments. You've gone to some. Maybe you've even gone to quite a few. Are you a reenactor, or are you just an actor? Is it something that you do on the weekends, occasionally, once or twice, few times a year? Or is it a lifestyle? Is it something that you engage in year-round, 365 days a year? Well, as I said, and that's a good question. As I said, we've been engaged in this series called Reenactment. It goes back to our baptism service when we spent the sermon portion of our worship time exploring what is baptism, believer's baptism. And it's simply, well, it's an act of obedience, obviously, but it's simply a picture, a reenactment of our salvation story. The death of the old self, the burying of that old self completely in the ground, underwater, and then the raising up out of the water as a brand new creation. It's a reenactment of our faith story. And then we've been looking at the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and each section is also a reenactment of our faith story. The first week after baptism was us being called to be living sacrifices. And then 2 weeks ago, it was being living service, working, serving the Lord with our gifts as part of the body. And today is about living in the Spirit, living by the Spirit. So that's been the series that we've been engaged in. And again, today we're in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, picking up in verse 9. Now, real quickly, set the stage. Book of Romans, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, favorite books. I love it. Read the first 11 chapters, and it sets the stage for the rest of the book. The first 11 chapters of this letter by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, the church in Rome made up of Jewish and non-Jewish believers that had some disagreements. The first 11 chapters spell out what it means to be a sinner saved by Christ, saved by God's grace. It just explains how rich God's mercies and grace are toward even sinners, that we can then be made right in God's eyes through Jesus, through a personal relationship with Jesus. Then chapter 12 picks up with what does that mean for our lives? How do we actually live that out? And boy, Jesus' salvation is free, but it costs us everything, costs us all that we are. So there's a quick synopsis of the book of Romans. And again, picking up today, Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. Follow along. We've got it up on the screen. Let me read God's word to you. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence in zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs. Pursue hospitality." Pray with me. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the richness of your revelation to us in who you are and what you've done for us as your creation. Father, I thank you for this message that you've given to me and you've laid on my heart. And Lord, I pray that through the power of your Spirit, you will speak your word and your truth through me this morning, boldly and clearly. Lord, I ask that you open up each of our hearts and our minds that we can more clearly understand who you are and what you've done for us, and then how it is that we can serve you. Oh Lord, we thank you for this time together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church family said, amen. So think about your favorite actor or actress. If you like movies, like TV, think about who it is that you enjoy watching. Great actor, great actress. Actress and actors throughout the ages, throughout the times. Some of our publications are devoted to the lives of actors and actresses. We, as Americans, worldwide people, we just idolize famous actors and actresses. We look up to actors and actresses. We even imitate them sometimes, dress like them, act like them, just model our lives sometimes after them. I know as a human being, we are sometimes pretty good at acting. We act out, we act a lot. Someone says, how are you? Oh, I'm good. Really good. No, really, how are you? No, I'm good. Really, how are you? Oh, well, actually, my heart's aching because, you know, my body is aching. Really, there's pain deep down inside. Sometimes we are pretty good at acting. And let me tell you, in life as a disciple, in our Christian faith, following after the risen Lord Jesus, that's not a good thing. Acting isn't a good thing. There's eternal consequences. There's an eternal difference between reenacting our faith and just simply acting. So how do we know, as churchgoers, as people gathered under this roof, how do we know? Are we actors or are we reenactors? Do we know what we're talking about, or do we simply have opinions and ideas but not really the life experience to back it all up? That's the question. The point to today's message is that everybody can discover whether we are an actor or a reenactor by paying attention to this passage of Scripture, paying attention to what's going on. The beginning, verse 9, the beginning of verse 9, the passage says, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. I've told you guys a lot about my adventure on the Appalachian Trail. 2017, hiked from Georgia to Maine. It was only 2,200 miles. No big deal. 6 months took me. Everybody said, how long did it take you? 4 days short of 6 months, living in the woods, living on the trail, dirty, sweaty, wet, ate ramen, smelly. Teresa says, really, really, really smelly. My backpack is never the same. Okay, I won't gross you out. Not good, but quite an adventure. God put me there for a reason. God has done some amazing things because of that. But one of the, and by the way, nobody goes by Kurt or Bill or Susie or Chuck or whatever. You go by a trail name. My trail name is Disciple. And that way, I had the chance every day, sometimes multiple times a day, to explain why my name is Disciple. Because I'm a follower of Jesus. And then I got, at least for a moment, the chance to tell someone about why I follow after Jesus. So while I was on the trail, you're like stuck together walking for 10, 12 hours a day, camping in the same spot, getting up, and just you're kind of live life together as a herd, a smelly, dirty herd moving north together through 14 states. Did I mention 2,200 miles? And I would talk with people, and I'd ask them, where are you at with faith? Do you have any faith background? I'd ask them, where are you at with Jesus? Tell me who Jesus is to you. Is he a lunatic, a liar, or is he Lord? because everybody's got an opinion about Jesus. And man, does that just open up doors. Open up doors, especially to explain how Jesus has radically changed my life. I would ask people, now mind you, the Trail community is made up of people from all over the world, every walk of life, rich, poor, homeless, gay, straight, just everything you can imagine is represented on the Trail. And I would ask them, tell me your opinion of church. What do you think about church? Get some answers, very interesting answers. I would say, tell me your opinion. What do you think? When I say the word Christian, what do you think? And then just shut up and listen. Let people explain. Wow. Eye-opening. Shocking. Lots of indifference when I said church or Christianity, even Jesus. Lots of indifference. Most people, no opinion. Doesn't matter. Care less. Like, so irrelevant. Doesn't matter. I got the word hypocrite quite a bit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hypocrites. Church, hypocrites. Christianity, hypocrites. Judgmental, mean. Lots of indifference. Some hurt. Hurt by the church. Hurt by the people that make up the church. Why such either indifference or negative opinion about Christians, Christianity, and church? No one that I met, in fact, I'll just say this, other than other born-again believers, which were few and far between, but other than that, no one I met had ever been loved by the church. No one I met had ever just been loved as who they are by the church. Now, this is no one I met. There might be some out there that are indifferent to Jesus, indifferent to the church, or have a very negative opinion. There might be some that have been loved, but no one that I met in 6 months walking on the Trail had ever just been genuinely loved by the body of Christ. Lots of very negative responses, some with experiences that were bad, some with no experience whatsoever with the church, but none had just been loved. Why is that? Why would that be? How could that possibly be? Because when Jesus was asked to sum up all the law, all the commandments, what is the greatest thing that we, as your creation, what should we be about and do? And Jesus said, I'll tell you. And it's really simple. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love God with everything that you've got, all of your being. And the second is like it. Love others. That simple. If Jesus said, love God with all you've got and then simply love others, how could it be that people out on the Appalachian Trail and in Ely, Minnesota, have no opinion about church or a very negative opinion about church when they're supposed to be loved by the church? How are we supposed to love people that we disagree with so greatly? And today, boy, turn on the TV, that social media that I talked about, we disagree with, if you listen to them, everybody, everyone is the problem. Everything is wrong. Mask or no mask, vaccine, no vaccine, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, like black, white. How do we love somebody that everything around us says we're supposed to hate? How can we possibly do that? Well, it's out of our control. We don't have the ability. How about thinking about it like this? You can't change that person that you disagree with, that the media says you're supposed to just loathe. You can't change their opinion. You can't change them. No one has ever lost an argument and then switched their core beliefs. Like, you can't argue a liberal into being a conservative. You can't argue a conservative and make them lose the argument into becoming a liberal. You can't change someone. Only God can change someone. Here's your quote if you like to take notes. You are not God. You are powered by God, but you are not God. You are not the Holy Spirit, but you are powered by the Holy Spirit. I use the CSB translation of the Bible. I like it. They named it after me. It's Kurt's special Bible. And because of that, I like to use it. However, other translations are also beneficial. Translations are like golf clubs. Each one has a purpose. No one club is perfect for 18 holes of golf. You need putters and six irons and drivers. Translations are the same way. They have different purposes. Some are word for word specific translations, good for study. Some are thought for thought translations, good for reading, not as good for study. I like the New Living Translation, or the NLT, to make things simple. It's about as easy of reading as you can possibly get. Listen to that first part of the first verse in the NLT. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Doesn't that just kind of open up our understanding? Don't just pretend to love others, really, actually love them. Don't be an actor, be a re-enactor. That's what it's saying. Live a life full of love for God first, and then powered by the Spirit of God, loving others. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Wow. We could kind of close and pray and just finish out with that. Just leave here thinking about that, because really that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what it all boils down to. Don't just pretend to love others. Really, actually, truly love them. We're good at acting. Oh, I'm good. I'm great. Yeah, I love you. Are we? Really? Do we? Really? Let me tell you, if you come to that realization, if we, because this is first and foremost for me, if we come to the point where we realize we're not God, but that we are powered by God, there is way less stress in our lives. Way less that we have to do and accomplish, because we let God do it. Let God have His way in our lives and then through us. All right, let's keep going. Verse 9, the beginning, sets the stage for the rest of this list of all these different things that we're supposed to live out because of God's great abundant mercies and His grace. I'm going back to the CSB. Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest evil. Well, I'll stop there. Detest evil. We've been desensitized, as Americans especially, as humans today, to being desensitized to evil. Evil is all around us. What we watch, what we look at, what we listen to, a lot of it is pure evil. But it's normal today, and so we think it's okay because it's normal. We've been tricked. We've been duped into thinking evil is okay. And then we blur the lines between evil and good, evil and godliness, and we don't even know the difference. We can't recognize it. In the scripture, Paul says, detest evil. How do we change our mind and our heart when evil is all around us and it's normal? In fact, we live in a day and age when we're told by the world and media and whatever that evil is good, it's okay. It's normal, and right is wrong, and wrong is right. And the scripture says, detest evil. How do we even know what is evil? Good question. Look at everything through the glory of God. Look at everything. Everything we watch, read, think, do, listen to, everything. Look at all of it through the holiness of God. Look at all of life through the grandeur and the majesty of our God. And when we do that, evil will be glaring. And then you and I, brother and sister, we're to turn away from it. We're to look upon that evil with disgust, detest it. The ugliness of evil is revealed through the glory of God. Everything that we do should be viewed through the lens of the Ancient of Days, seated on His throne, His majesty, And then we'll see the ugliness around us, the evil all around us, and we will detest it. I love this next part. It says, cling to what is good. Cling to what is good. I was thinking about that, and I remember the old movie, speaking of actors, and, you know, Sylvester Stallone, probably one of the best, right? Sylvester Stallone, he was in a movie, Cliffhanger. Did you ever see that? He's a rock climber, and I mean, he had the build to do it. So I can remember a scene, and maybe it was when it opened. I mean, it's been like 20, 30 years since I've seen it, but I can still picture it. If I remember right, he's grabbing a hold of a rock. You know, he's got his chalked fingers, and he's got a hold in his huge arms, you know, all ripped and everything, and he's got a hold of a person. He's got a hold of the person, he's got a hold of the rock or whatever, and he's got all of his strength, everything that he's got. He's gripping the wall and he's gripping the person because this person's life depends upon his grip. He can't let go of either one. He's grasped it. Think of that when we see, read the words, cling to what is good. Detest evil, turn away from that and cling to what is good. Just own what is good. Make what is good part of our lives. It becomes who we are. We own it. We're filled with it. Cling to what is good and turn away from evil. Let love be without hypocrisy. Don't just pretend to love, but actually love others. Detest evil and cling to what is good. Verse 10 says, love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. A lot of you ledge rockers, know I call you brother and sister all the time. I love that. Every church I've pastored, I'm called Brother Kurt. Up here in Minnesota, y'all don't know what brother is. I'm called Pastor Kurt up here, but it's always been Brother Kurt, and everybody's brother and sister. I love that. Because, see, there was a point in my life when I gave my life to Jesus. Jesus became my Lord and Savior, and I was saved at that point. I was changed and made new. If you also have done that, if you've come to the place where you've decided to follow Jesus, then you're my brother or sister in Christ. We are part of the same family. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Man, I love that. I love that. Jesus said in his farewell discourse, the chapters like 13 through 17 of the book of John, Jesus told his followers, he said some chilling words. He said, all of the world, everywhere, they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The world, the lost world, indifferent to Christianity, indifferent to Jesus, indifferent to the church, don't care or been hurt by it, they will know that we're followers of Jesus if we love one another. That's a challenge. That's a tough one. Don't just pretend to love, but actually love others. Love your brothers and sisters deeply. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. As the body of Christ, we are marked by our love for each other. Remember, you're not God. You're powered by God. How can you love someone that you disagree with? You can't on your own. You can through God and through His strength. You don't have to change them. Let the Spirit change them. He's really good at it. We're not so good. Continuing in verse 10, it says, outdo one another in showing honor. I read that one and I thought, man, where do I begin preaching about that? Outdo one another in showing honor. How much honor is shown from one American to another American today? In this world, this current climate that we're living in. And the Bible says the church is to outdo each other in showing honor. Imagine if you and I spent time one-upping each other on respect. Respect and love and honor. Outdo one another in honor. The TV, the news, media, articles, paper says hate those other people because they don't agree with you. They're the reason that the world is falling apart. It's what the news says, but the Bible says, outdo one another in showing honor, respect, and love. The media and technology, they promote hate. Jesus is honored when we honor each other. When the body of Christ truly loves each other, don't just pretend, but actually do it. Forgetting what's evil and clinging to what's good and outdoing each other with love and respect. Verse 11, it says, do not lack diligence, CSB, okay? Do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit, serve the Lord. Yeah, it's okay, it's a tough one. Let me read it in the NLT, the New Living Translation. Verse 11. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Isn't that easy to read? Doesn't that just make a difference? If you want to read God's Word and you've been like challenged or confused by it, get the Bible Is app or YouVersion app. Bible Is a good one, but YouVersion app. They're all free. NLT, you just click between the translations, the NLT. Oh my goodness. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Remember the old hymn? I'm sure you guys remember it. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. Man, I wish I could sing because now would be a time. Now would be a time when I would, but I won't offend you. But imagine, we'll work till Jesus comes. I know we live in Ely. It's a tourist destination. It's also a retirement community. And a lot of you are retired and retired from your jobs. Congratulations, and I'm glad you're here. We make a great team together. The problem with that idea, though, of retiring from our jobs is that there's no retirement in Scripture. You can retire from your job, but you don't get to retire from Christianity. You don't get to retire from being part of the body. We learned 2 weeks ago when I was preaching, we learned that we are to live in service because we've been uniquely gifted by God to be a part of the body. The body works better when both arms and both legs do their job. The body works better when the eyes and the nose and the ears work together. The body is healthy when it functions correctly. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord together enthusiastically. We don't get to retire from serving the Lord. We do that until we're in His presence. We serve the Lord all the time. Don't be lazy. I love the NLT, how that says it. Just simply don't be lazy. Ask yourself, am I lazy? Am I a lazy Christian? Do I come and root on the worship experience and then go home and just do my own thing? Am I a weekend warrior? Or do I live the life as a follower of Jesus? Never be lazy in serving the Lord. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. I love that. Boy, I wish I had so much, you know, time to just share, but Vacation Bible School. Thank God it's over. But it was awesome. And every single worker that came and worked, utterly exhausted, but overflowing with joy because they got to spend a week with kids and tell them about Jesus and dance to the same songs over and over and over all week. But they would leave every night exhausted and come back the next day with huge smiles. A couple people had to leave to go do something else and couldn't make it, and they called to find out, how'd VBS go last night? Utterly exhausted, but serving with huge enthusiasm. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. We have no idea what we do today and how it can make an eternal impact in someone's life. Some of you are here this morning because a man or woman 20, 30, 50 years ago told you about Jesus. And now your grandkids are coming to their faith in Christ. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Verse 12 says, rejoice in our confident hope. I love that word, rejoice. Rejoice in our confident hope. You and I, we're marked by our love for each other. We're marked by our love for each other. They know that we're followers of Jesus. We're also marked by the joy in our lives. If you have faith in Christ, it doesn't matter what's going on around the world. Now, I don't mean to say that like it's not terrible. It is shockingly terrible what's happening all around the world. In our country and all around the world, I am horrified. It's terrible. But that's not where our hope lies. Our hope doesn't lie in our president or our Congress, even our city officials. That's not our hope. We are only here for a short time. Our hope lies in something much greater and someone much grander. Our hope lies in a resurrected King of all kings. Rejoice in our confident hope. What is hope? In the English language, we have a hard time understanding hope. Hope is the absolute assurance of an event that has not yet come to pass. That's what biblical hope is. Rejoice in our confident hope. Of everything around us, of all of life, we can be confident in Christ. That's it. Your 401k, you're not promised that. Your pension, your home, we're not promised any of it. We're not even promised life. We may not even see tomorrow. We do have a rock that we can build everything upon. Rejoice, live with joy in our confident hope in Christ because of what He has promised, even though it has not yet come to pass. Be patient in trouble. I have an overabundance of patience. You never meet a more patient guy than, man, I have no patience whatsoever. Like, patience is so hard. Can't we just hurry up and get more patience? Be patient in trouble. What about when things are tough and things are difficult and the world is falling apart all around us? And we either want it to be fixed or we want Jesus to come or whatever. And Paul says, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've been born again, patience should mark your life. If you've experienced God's grace, you were a sinner dead, and now you're alive in Christ, then patience should mark your life even in trouble. Be joyful. Be joyful all the time. Be confident in our hope. Be patient in trouble. And I love this next one. By the way, you're not God, you're powered by God. You're not the Spirit, you're powered by the Spirit. You lack patience, ask God for patience. And He will give it to you. And I'll explain how in a moment. Keep on praying. Pray fervently. Paul says in another letter, he says, pray without ceasing. We're never to stop praying. There's a saying in the Christian circle, we call it praying it through. Keep praying for whatever's on your heart until it comes to pass. Keep praying. Pray it through. Be persistent in prayer. I love that word. Keep on praying. You and I, brothers and sisters, born-again followers, we are to keep on praying. You don't like what's going on, you want to change it, you want to change your neighbors, your friends, people, what? Keep on praying. Be joyful, even in trouble, patient all the time, loving all the time, and keep on praying. Do not stop praying for whatever's going on all around you. Verse 13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Man, did I come to the right place to talk about this one. Verse 13. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. You guys are the most helping, loving, hospitality-oriented just awesome people I've ever been around. Ely is made up of that, and Ledge Rock is the cream of the crop. You guys are awesome. In fact, you guys are so great. This church is so great, and this community is so great. Teresa and I have put in an offer, and it's been accepted on a home, our own home. More than just the parsonage. The parsonage is awesome. In fact, our new home will not be as nice as the parsonage, but it's our home. We want to be rooted in Ely. We want to be invested in this community because we love you and we love it and we know that you love us. By the way, if you don't love me, you're stuck with me. Learn to love. Don't just pretend. Actually love my family and I. We know that you love us. I mean, my extended family knows that you love us because when they come and visit, they're blown away and no one wants to leave here. Except for Isabel, apparently. I didn't mean to run her off, but the passage says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. And you do that. Keep on doing that. Keep on loving and helping. It says, always be eager to practice hospitality. We've been in more homes during COVID than we have been in 10 other years of ministry because you've invited us over to welcome us into your life, into your family, into your home. We've shared life and tears and prayers and food together because you are always eager to be helpful when people are in need and always eager to provide hospitality. It's a mark of discipleship. It's a mark of love for God and love for each other. The cold hard truth, it's building relationships, by the way. Building relationships, that's what our vision at Ledge Rock is simply building relationships with Jesus and with each other to help all of us follow after Jesus. That's what it's all about, and it was pretty simple because that's what we're already doing, so let's just put a name to it. Building relationships and loving each other as we love the Lord to help other people love the Lord and love each other, and we get to love them and be hospitable toward them and be patient in trouble and just be Christ with them. The cold hard truth is that this list is tough. This is hard, it's difficult, but we can do it. We can do it on our own part-time. We can do it on our own a little bit of the time, sometimes for a while on the weekend. The truth is that we can be a pretty good actor. We can act and pretend and act like we love and act like we're patient and act like we're honoring each other. We can act sometimes part-time for a little bit, but then the truth will come out at some point. The only way to actually go from being an actor to a reenactor is to live out our faith every day, like all day, every day, all the time. Detest what's evil, cling to what is good, love each other because we love God more. It makes it possible. The only way to do it is by the indwelling of the Spirit of God Himself inside us. The Bible teaches that when we put our faith in Christ, we're filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God inside us produces fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. That's what God does inside us, inside true believers. We're not God, but we're filled with and powered by God. So what do we do with this information today? What do we do with this passage? And by the way, this is just part one. Two more weeks of what it's like to be filled with the Spirit and living by the Spirit, because the Scripture goes on and it's impossible to do this on our own. But what do we do with this information? Ask yourself, ask yourself, am I an actor? Am I just doing this on the weekends, sometimes part-time? Or am I a reenactor? Am I living this lifestyle 365 days a year? Ask your spouse, am I an actor or am I a reenactor? Better than both of those, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, am I an actor or am I a reenactor? And then listen. And then commit to loving God with everything that you've got and loving others, letting God do it in you, living with joy, living with peace and patience and kindness and gentleness, even when the world around us isn't. And watch how the King is glorified and others want what you've got because it's missing in their life. Pray with me. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, we've covered a lot of ground in a very deep and meaningful way. And Lord, I pray now in the name of Jesus that you will speak into our lives and help each one of us leave this place a little more surrendered to you, a little more obedient to you. Lord, I pray that in that you are high and lifted up, that you are much glorified, and that this world that is living in evil, that's living in darkness, will see the light of Christ in us as your body, loving each other and loving others. And Lord, we can't do it apart from you. Power us and fuel us to be you out there with each other and all over the world for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.